Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, AJ Walsh, sitting in for Niall Boylan. Now to sleeping arrangements. Recently, television presenter Kat Deely revealed that she and her husband, late show presenter Patrick Keelty, sleep in separate bedrooms during the week due to her early morning schedule. She explained that from Monday to Thursday, she sleeps in the guest bedroom to accommodate her 5 a.m. starts, rejoining her husband on the weekends. This revelation prompts us to ask, is sharing a bed with your partner essential for a healthy relationship, or is it acceptable to prioritise individual sleep needs? Some of the pros to bed sharing include emotional bonding, improved sleep quality. Some studies suggest that co-sleeping partners experience better sleep quality, including increased REM sleep and synchronised sleep patterns, leading to more restful nights. Arguments against sharing a bed include sleep disturbances. Partners may have different sleep preferences or habits, such as snoring or differing temperature needs, leading to disruptive sleep when sharing a bed. Individual sleep needs, prioritising personal sleep quality by sleeping separately can result in better rest. So we'd love to hear your thoughts. Do you believe that sharing a bed is crucial for maintaining intimacy in a relationship, or do you think that separate sleeping arrangements can be beneficial? Have you or someone you know experienced changes in your relationship dynamics due to different sleeping setups? Let us know your thoughts on WhatsApp 087 188 0008, and don't forget, if you have an issue that you want to hear discussed on the show, you can email me aj.walsh@classichits.ie, because sometimes I don't see all of the messages that come in. So if you want to send me an email, go for it. I'm going to go to Maureen first. Hi Maureen, how are you?
Funnily enough that we're talking about sleep.
Oh, sorry Maureen, sorry, say that again.
I said it's funny, I'm tired actually.
Oh, are you?
Just fits in nice when we were talking about sleep, but I'm getting insomniac anyway, so.
Oh, are you? Oh no, that's the worst. That's absolutely
horrible.
The worst. So what do you think? Would you rather individual sleep, or do you think that that would upset the intimacy in a relationship?
Oh, individual sleep. Now and again, because you have to prioritise. I mean, if you're not getting enough sleep, and I know what it's like being an insomniac.
Yeah,
that you're exhausted the following day.
If you're an insomniac, are you going to keep, you know, your partner awake because you're just all over the place all night?
And I'll have a light on because I'll be reading or I'll be listening to. I put on history documentaries at night, and sometimes they'll kind of, you know, I'll doze off listening to them. But it's either that, or he'd have to put up with the light on, and me listening to what I want to listen to, or either that I go to another room. And so, then he gets a night's sleep. And, like, well, why should somebody else's sleep be interrupted night after night after night, especially if you have someone snoring or their legs are all over the place and you're twisting and turning, and it's not good for you. I individual sleep, in my book anyway, would be number one.
Oh, do you not think that that affects the intimacy in a relationship, though, Maureen?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I never believed in that. No, I never believed in that. In actual fact, it might make it a bit, you know, it might make it healthier, actually, because you can't force somebody to sleep in a bed with you if you say you're a heavy snorer, or you're someone that's tossing and turning all night, and then you're dozing off and waking up and dozing off and waking up, and you're getting up in the morning and you're cranky, bad-tempered, and you're bad-tempered for the day, and it's the same ritual again through the night. So where's the point in that?
I mean,
it's actually damaging your health.
I think I agree. I mean, I couldn't put up with someone snoring, that's for sure.
There
was something in The Sun, there was an article, a recent article in The Sun, and it's the German Doppelbett method, where you, instead of having a double bed, you get your double bed frame and you get two single mattresses, and then you both have a single duvet cover as well, like a single duvet as well.
Yeah.
So essentially you are sleeping together, but it's sort of separate. So you can have, you know, someone stealing the covers, that kind of thing. And I actually think that that would be a good setup. The Doppelbett method is what it's called.
Yeah, well, it's a good setup. That would be like, you know, years ago, especially the films, you know, the films in the 1950s when they had the separate, two single beds. But you see, but if you're someone, we say, like that, as a snorer, or somebody like me, who may have a light on all night, then the other person's not getting any sleep, so they have
couldn't
to get up and leave,
Maureen,
so they can get rest. You can't, AJ, you can't. You mean, now, truthfully, you couldn't, like?
No.
You can't have the two of you exhausted, you know, in the following day, because that's going to disrupt your relationship, because now you're bad-tempered.
You don't want a bad-tempered partner.
Because you're so exhausted.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. I think as well, a lot of couples, when they have young kids, they... the sleep goes crazy. And oftentimes one of the parents will have to go into one of the kids' beds, you know, to get them to sleep and stuff like that. So it does happen a lot in relationships. It happens probably more than we think. You just assume that most couples share a bed, but in actual fact, a lot of people don't.
No, they don't. No, they have perfectly healthy relationships. Because you're taking into account the other person's needs. I mean, I think it would be quite selfish. If supposing I had a man in my life, which I don't, I'm perfectly happy without one, to be honest. But if he expected me to, you know, just to put up with this, maybe night after night after night, and I'm trying to tell him, no, I can't because you're snoring all night or, you know, whatever. Well, then that's being selfish because I'm supposed to give up my 2 hours of sleep to accommodate somebody else who can sleep through the night and snore their head off. That wouldn't be happening.
How many hours Maureen, with your insomnia?
Well, you see, I could maybe get 1 week in the month and I'd maybe get about 6 hours. I could have two and a half weeks on maybe 3 hours.
Oh, God. Oh, Maureen.
Four, so, yeah.
Oh, you poor thing. That's harsh.
Or I could go 24 hours with no sleep at all.
My God.
Because when you get into bed, the mind is going and when an insomniac, the mind doesn't settle to sleep anyway, so sleep doesn't come on.
Have you always been like that, Maureen?
Yeah, my mother was the same.
Oh, it's genetic, so.
Yeah, she was the very same, yeah.
Yeah. It's
awful.
Let me just go to Margaret. I'm going to bring Margaret in on the conversation. How are you doing, Margaret? You okay?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So what do you think? Do you think that couples can maintain a healthy relationship if they're not sleeping in the same bed together?
Oh, no. I always slept with my husband. Well, I couldn't. I love the body heat.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing like it. Great on a winter's night.
And do you think for couples that don't share a bed, do you think that it would affect their intimacy?
Well, if you're married, like, you're supposed to sleep in the bed. But like Maureen's case there now, insomnia, like, that's hard. That's very hard on any relationship, you know. But, I mean, look, my husband and myself split up, so he went off for a younger lady, you know.
His loss.
Best of luck to him. His loss, yeah, exactly. And thank God the children were all grown up when he decided to move away, yes, they say. But look, life goes on. You make the best of your life and, you know, you get on with your life. You know, and like as Maureen said, you know, there are people out there who live, you know, in the same household. And even when their children are grown up and they sleep in different rooms and everything, and they're still together as a married couple and they're happy out. So, you know, I say everybody to their own, wherever works for you or me or whoever, you know, that's the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
And if things go belly up, well, then you take the bull by the horns like I did. And I made it quite clear to him. The minute he walked outside the door with his clothes, he was not coming back in. And that's exactly what happened. I had a locksmith there. And then when he told me he was leaving me, I said, that's grand. But I said, once you leave, you don't get back in.
Fair play, Margaret. Stand your ground.
My house too. I said, I'm telling you now, you're not getting back in. And I had the locksmith there at 10:30, changing the locks. And then I rang him and I said, I want the car to go shopping. It's my car. It's not your car. I said, it's our car. And then I got the locks changed and that. And then I took it then to a garage and I sold it. And I got him a car and myself a car.
Well, that sounds fair. That sounds fair enough. Yeah no, because why should you be without a car? I mean, do you miss, I mean, obviously I'm not saying you miss your husband. Obviously, you're, you know, that's gone. That's dead and buried. But do you miss the body heat? Do you miss the connection that you have when you're in bed with someone?
Because I'm in the bed on my own now for years, you know. But what I do is I bring me teddy bear to bed.
That's cute, Margaret.
And then some nights I have this long hot water bottle.
I've seen
them.
You know,
the long ones.
Yeah, I've seen them. Yeah.
And I put that all at me back and I sleep like a baby. And I'm very happy out living on my own. Very. I can go out the door when I like. I can come in when I like. I babysit for my neighbours and I created a garden at the top of the cul-de-sac here. in where I live, and it's beautiful at the moment now with all the daffodils and the tulips and the crocuses and the bluebells and everything else, you know. And, you know, you help people out, you know, when in time of need. I help my friends out as well, and that, you know, and if it can help anybody out, that's my way, is you help them out.
That's
if somebody said to me, I need a helping hand, I need to clean my house from top to bottom, but I just haven't got to, I'll be there, no problem. I'll do it.
That's lovely,
Mark. When my friends go on holidays, I might look after their animals for them. Say, don't be spending all that money putting them into the dog kennels.
Oh, and they cost a fortune now, Margaret, the dog kennels.
They do. Oh, they do, big time. And I say to my friends, if you're going on holidays, just give me a call. I look after the animal. Because once you leave the house, the dog is mine, and I pretend it's mine for the week or the fortnight they're away on their holidays. And I mind them all during the summer for them.
But that's nice as well for you to have some company. Do you have your own dog, Margaret? I think you do you?
My dog died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my dog died, yeah. A couple of years ago, he got cancer of the tongue.
Oh,
he was 14 and a half. He was a lurcher.
Oh, I know them,
My son found him. Beautiful. I have a picture of him here.
Oh, send it in to us, Margaret.
I will, and he's lying on his big duvet.
Oh.
We called him Ernie. We found him on the beach. He was tied to a pole.
Oh, my goodness.
With a rope around his neck. My son did, found him Valentine's Day. And he brought him home, wrapped up in his coat. And it was a freezing cold day. I'll never forget it. Himself and his two pals. And he says to me, "Mammy, we're keeping him." And I said, "No, hold on. Calm down now. Calm down." And we brought him to the vet, and he was in there for a week. I went back then, the vet read, and I said, "I can't go over," I said, "till he gets home from school." He made it quite clear he'd have to be there. So we went anyway over, and I was reading the bill, to be quite honest with you. Anyway, went in anyway, and he said, "Oh, is he all right?" Yeah, and as soon as he let the dog in to the room where we were, he went straight for Kevin. The dog went straight for him and bounced up and down and kissed him and loved him. I said to the vet, "That's it, so he's coming home. How much do I owe you?" "No, once you're keeping him, we don't charge."
Oh, that's nice, Margaret. That's lovely. I'm so glad that you got such a long time out of that.
Yeah.
The found dog.
Yeah.
Guys, stay with me. Sorry, Margaret, I have to go to the ads, but we'll be back in a second.
Yeah.
We're talking about sharing a bed with your partner. Is it essential to do that, to keep the intimacy alive, to keep the relationship healthy? Maureen's saying, no, not a bit of it. If you've got insomnia or anything like that, you don't want to be sharing a room with someone. And Margaret says she loves the body heat, but you can replace that with a long hot water bottle and a teddy. So what do you think? 087-188-0008. Back to Nighttime Talk on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio with myself, AJ Walsh, filling in for Niall Boylan. We've just had a message in about this topic. We're asking, is it essential to sleep in the same bed as your partner? Someone said, "I'd rather sleep in a dog kennel before I'd sleep in a bedroom with someone else." So there you go. Going back to you there, Margaret, sorry, you were telling us about your dog.
Yeah, anyway, he passed away in the September. And I was devastated, I have to say, because he was my best friend when my husband left me. And we went to the beach and we went for walks together. And there's 5 beaches in Port Rann, you know, and Donabate as well.
I know the beach in Donabate's gorgeous. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's 5 beaches though in Port Rann. You know that?
No, I didn't. That's a lot of beaches.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's one at the back of the hospital, and then there's the one in Ter Bay, and then there's the Port Rann Beach, and then there's one down in Rogerstown as well.
Maureen, do you have a dog?
There's a lot of beaches.
No, I don't know. I have cats. The last two dogs I had were a King Charles Cavalier and a Rottweiler, and the Rottweiler slept in my bed, Ella.
Oh,
and Jasmine, the Cavalier.
So you had the dog in your bed, Maureen. You had the dog.
Yeah, a Rottie. A Rottie, yeah, at the end of the bed. And then, and she got her teeth brushed as well and her face washed before she went to bed.
Oh, yeah, no, you have to keep, yeah, if you're going to have a dog on the bed, they have to have a bath.
Yeah, well, she did it herself because she used to see me doing it and I noticed her watching me intensely. So I got a toothbrush for her and I got a face flannel, right?
Yeah.
And in the morning, the first, when we get up, in the morning, the first place she headed for the bathroom and she sat, you know, at the sink.
Waiting for her face
to be washed and her teeth to be brushed. Mm-hmm. This is a Rottweiler. And happy out for herself.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So Margaret,
and she too died of cancer.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Maureen.
Ovarian. Yeah.
Oh, God. Did your dog sleep on the bed then, Margaret?
Oh, he did. Lay down on one side of it and he hopped up on the bed and lay down where my husband used to sleep.
Well, there you go. There's your replacement.
Replacement. Yeah. Now, AJ, can I just say one thing?
Go ahead.
Can I say a very happy birthday to Molly, whose birthday was on last Saturday, the 8th of March.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't actually wish her
happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
well,
Molly.
Now, there you go.
She's delighted. Thanks
and
for that, Margaret.
I hope you had a lovely day.
Yeah, she came in hungover on Monday
many
now.
More to you.
She was very hungover on Monday.
Well.
Oh, God,
that's allowed.
Oh,
that's
she was
allowed.
Bad now. It was bad.
Well, look, yeah, you excuse that. She was out celebrating.
She's going mad. No, yeah.
Your birthday is the most important day of your life.
And especially when you're only young as well, Margaret.
Well, look, I'll be 68 now in August, please God, you know. And I'll celebrate it. I celebrate my birthday every year. And I'll have a glass of 7-Up. On my birthday.
Oh, I hope it's going to be diet 7-Up, Margaret. You're meant to be cutting down on the sugar.
Oh, yes, diet 7-Up. And my container is filling up nicely.
Oh, good.
Too.
Good.
Yeah,
when is your birthday, Margaret?
Look, August.
August. Okay. Well, happy birthday in advance.
We'll put it down in our diaries, Margaret. When's your birthday,
put
Maureen?
Put that down in your diary.
Maureen, when's yours?
June 3rd.
Oh, okay. So you're next then. You're next. Actually, I'm next. I'm in May.
And when is yours, AJ?
When is
your birthday?
I'm May 24th.
May 24th.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, my son was the same day as Molly's.
Ah, okay.
He's in Vancouver.
Ah, lovely.
And he was 42. And then my other son, Kevin, is this Saturday, the 15th, and he'll be 38.
Oh, okay.
And then my daughter will be 44 in August.
Ah, okay.
So
nice.
The two boys were March hares.
And then the two girls.
The two women then were Leo the Lions, and the husband was Taurus the Bull.
Ah, okay. See, there's your problem. It's a Taurus. I don't get on well with Taurians. No, I don't get on well with them at all now. Right, guys, I'm going to have to wrap this up because Molly is coming into studio, actually, and we're going to be talking about some of life's biggest questions. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much, Maureen. Thank you so much, Margaret.
Good night, Margaret. Good night, AJ.
Talk to you later, guys. Good night. I hope you get some sleep, Maureen. Thank you so much for that, guys. So, yeah, like I say, we're going to be answering life's biggest questions when we come back after the break. Molly will be in studio and it's not going to be rigged or anything. And we're going to be doing the number generator to pick out the questions. OK, so no accusations of this being rigged. OK, in the text message.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.